Greetings, listeners. This is Ralph Edwards, a.k.a. Warren, from the Concrete Gang and Creatures of the Industry podcast. I feel privileged to introduce the Concrete Gang 50th Anniversary Archive, because this is the 50th anniversary of the Concrete Gang on Community Radio 3CR, since 3CR first went to air in 1976. Special thanks to our loyal listeners who have recorded them on their cassette tape recorders as they listened on a Sunday morning, and saved them for everyone to enjoy again. So enjoy the listen, and thanks to all those who presented the program and all those who helped get it to air. You will find it on www.3cr.org.au/Concrete Gang 50 Years, all one word. Dare to struggle, dare to win.
Compiled and presented by, on behalf of the Builders Labourers Federation.
Summer heat and in the winter cold, and the labour power we sell me boys for a hard-earned weekly pay, produces mighty profits for the greedy MBA. So keep your powder dry and hold your head up high. It's class to class and face to face, our limit is the sky. We've got a fighting history and we never will be cowed. A builder's labourer is a name to make a man feel proud.
Well, welcome once again to Concrete Gang. And tonight we have for you a little bit on Bakery Hill. We have the log of claims. We have safety on jobs. And we have a bit about the attack by the government in Western Australia on the Builders Labourers Federation. So without any further ado, we'll go into our first record, and you can get yourself ready for a real good program.
There's a happy little valley on the Eumerella shore, where I've lingered many happy hours away. On my little free selection I have acres by the score, where I unyoke a bullock from the dray. To my bullocks then I say, no matter where you stray, you'll never be impounded anymore. For you're running, running, running on the toughest piece of land pre-selected on the Eumerella shore. When the moon has climbed the mountains and the stars are shining bright, we'll saddle up our horses and away. And we'll duff the squatter's cattle in the darkness of the night, and we'll have the calves all branded by the day. Oh, my pretty little calf, at the squatter you may laugh, he'll never be your owner anymore. For you're running, running, running on the toughest piece of land pre-selected on the Eumerella shore. If we find a mob of horses when the paddock rails are down, oh, before they were never known to stray, oh, quickly will we drive them to some distant inland town and sell them into slavery far away. To Jack Robertson we'll say, you've been leading us astray, and we'll never go a-farming anymore. For it's easier duffing cattle on the little piece of land pre-selected on the Eumerella shore. For you're running, running, running on the toughest piece of land pre-selected on the Eumerella shore.
Well, Mario, have you got anything on the log of claims? Any new news?
Well, the latest results we've had so far in Victoria, up till Monday, there's been 30 combined meetings held on different jobs, and these meetings will be continuing. The unions involved are the BLF, the ASC&J, the BWIU, the Painters Union and the Plumbers Union. The support on all jobs has been very strong, with an overwhelming majority support in the campaign and take an afternoon smoke home. On some jobs, the plumbers are taking a 35-hour week. Last Friday, in response to a press release from the executive director of the MBA, Mr. Murden, to the ABC, stating that the BLF union organizers were standing over their members and intimidating the men into taking afternoon smoke on supporting the log of claims, the men at Costain's Knock Shopping Center decided at a 7:30 a.m. meeting to walk off the job until 7:30 a.m. on Monday in protest of such a slur on their officials and themselves. They also sent a telegram to the MBA demanding an apology and Mr. Murden's resignation. They stated they were fully behind the campaign for the log of claims and the afternoon smoke-o, and that there was no intimidation from their officials. Up in New South Wales, the campaign is going strong, and at six sites, builders' labourers are working a 35-hour week and taking afternoon smoke-o as well. And on other jobs, there's plenty of activity up there, you know, the boys are really getting into it. Well, over in Western Australia, the campaign has really come to a head with moves afoot to deregister the builders' labourers. And we have just received a telex on this matter. The telex is dated the 27th of the 6th, 1977. And as you know, this programme is taped on a Monday, by the way, so this telegram only come this afternoon. Anyway, it reads as such.
The Building Trades Association of Unions have met and resolved that the greatest possible opposition will be generated against the attempt for the Minister to register the Builders Labourers Union. The action of the Minister removes all doubt that he is using his portfolio to act as an agent for employers against workers who are campaigning to improve their wages and working conditions. The ABLF and BWU be holding a general stoppage commencing at 9:30 a.m. on Wednesday the 29th of June at the Perth Oval. The Painters Union Executive will meet on Monday to discuss their attitude to the Minister's action. The Plumbers Union are also following the same line of action. The matter will also be raised with the Trades and Labour Council Executive on Tuesday morning. The deregistration application decision was taken after a meeting on Thursday the 23rd of 677 between the government and the Building EAM employers group. Graydon, Minister for Labour, has said that if the Builders Labour Federation publicly apologises for its actions and agrees to abide by the courts, the government will withdraw their proceedings, which we will never do. The BLF now know that this is an attempt to split the union, and try to get the BWU to attempt to take over our memberships. This will never happen. The Building Group is united on this attack. The Trades Labour's Council Secretary Peter Cook came out strong in support of the Builders Labour's Federation. I feel, comrades, that this is the first instigation of attack against the Builders Labour's Federation around Australia, and they're taking perhaps a slightly weaker state in Perth to instigate their attack.
Well, as you say, Gabby, but they better be warned. They're taking the bull by the horns, I think.
That shows you there, Willie, that the bosses are willing to use boots and all and use all loose scruples of these lackeys they've got in Parliament, so it just shows we've got to go in boots and all too.
I wonder if they'll be doing the same with the government. The government's gone for a $60 a week rise. I wonder if they'll try and deregister the government, because I think that's what they should do. Now, they're complaining in that telex, well, they're stating in that telex, that the builders' labourers should apologise to the court and they should go through the court. Now, if we go through the arbitration court for our log of claims, we're going for a $30 a week rise. Well, the arbitration court is bound by the wage indexation guidelines, and by that it's absolutely impossible to grant a $30 a week rise. So therefore we're completely wasting our time going through the court, and they know this. They're just trying to nail us.
But what was said before, Mario, it's gone through, it's more or less passed now, that there's a $60 a week increase for our members of parliament, which is completely outside wage indexation or the arbitration lines. It's just one rule for one and one rule for the other.
That's for sure. Well, we never back introduced that last record we had there, one before last. That was because the record was going round and no one could see it. But it's Free Selectors, Duffers and Overlanders, the Amarella Shore from The Restless Years. And the next one is Fraser the Razor.
He came from the farm, and to Canmore he went. At first a backbencher, but on leadership bent, on leadership bent. He sent the boys to Vietnam, and then he started.
And this is the Red Pedal.
Listening to the 50-year anniversary archive of the Concrete Gang. Unbelievable that we're still going. So listen on.
We
Well, that was Phrase of the Razor by Red Peril. You only hear that good kind of music on 3CR. You won't be hearing the commercial stations. But Fraser and his cronies are the backers of capitalism and all that it stands for. Over here, old Colin's got a very interesting little piece on what capitalism does to the workers.
The struggle, the fact that capitalism will sacrifice the health and lives of the people to profit is amply demonstrated by a dyes plant at Siri in Piedmont, Italy, which became known as the Cancer Factory. Over the past 20 years, 130 workers at this factory have died from a confirmed suspected cancer of the bladder. Workers from this factory frequently fainted on the job. They would be taken away and a bucket of water would be thrown over them. Those who complained of blood in their urine were told by the factory doctor to drink less, smoke less. The pain from the bladder disease was so excruciating that one dead worker's wife said that her husband had asked to be killed rather than suffer the pain any longer. Quote, 14th of the 4th, 77, the Examiner.
Well, that was in Italy, but much closer at home, you might think that that doesn't happen. But we've got an article here from the Whittlesea Post, which is not known as a left-wing magazine at all by any means, so over to you, brother.
Quoting from the Whittlesea Post, Wednesday, June 22nd, 1977. Industrial accidents already have killed 6 people and terminally disabled 30 more in northern suburbs this year. The Northern Industrial Safety District, which supplied the figures, predicted that at least 3 times as many deaths and many more permanent injuries would result from industrial accidents before the end of the year. Compromising safety officers employed in industry, the group blames complacency and apathy among factory owners for much of the grim industrial record. Members say most of the 12,000 industrial accidents each result in the loss of 24 hours or more of work in the northern suburbs in the past 5 months could have been avoided by management action. 2 deaths occurred in factories in Thomastown, 1 in Preston, another in Coburg, and a 5th in Broadmeadows, and the most recent in Research. A coroner's inquest will soon decide whether or not a leak from stored chemicals gassed a worker. 4 other industrial deaths involved front-end loaders and a forklift and a tractor. A worker was run over by a front-end loader he was repairing. Another worker was crushed to death when a bucket of front-end loader was accidentally unloaded on him. A forklift tumbled on top of a worker. A tractor crushed a farmer. A 6th death resulting when a 7-year-old worker's hair was caught in a lathe. Supervising Inspector of Factories for the Northern Suburbs, Mr. Tom Hayman, said the staff was hard-pressed policing safety in the thousands of factories, shops and warehouses. Their jobs were made harder, he said, by the mere fines imposed on breaches of safety regulations, which often result in permanent injuries or disabilities. Mr. Hamer said this job made him angry. He told a factory manager who put a teenager to work on a press without any training. The teenager had no experience of factory work. 4 hours after he had begun his new job, his hand was chopped off by the press. The factory owner was fined $50.
The same comment comes from the same paper, comrades, which is completely right-wing. Sunday training can be more costly to a builder than using machines which can maim or kill workers. Opening for business on a Sabbath can carry a maximum fine of $1,000. Having unsafe machinery only constitutes a fine of $400. That is one of the legal anomalies which dog the efforts of the 5 inspectors whose job is to police safely in the thousands of factories, shops and warehouses in the northern suburbs. The inspectors, each responsible for policing at least 800 factories, know from experience the high cost in human life and limbs from the failure to comply with safety regulations. The Northern Industrial Safety Group, made up of business executives concerned about the carnage on the factory floor, we know how much thinking business executives worry about the carnage on the factory floor, sees inspectors as the front line in efforts to make the working environment safer. The group was formed by private industry to educate factory managers on safety. It blames complacency and apathy amongst managers for many fatal and maiming industries accidents. Only 90 of the 7,000 factories in the northern suburbs have joined the group. This has convinced many members that enforcement has a key role in protecting the life and limb of workers. In the northern suburbs, in the first 5 months of this year, industrial actions have resulted in 6 fatalities and 30 disabling accidents. But experience has shown most industrial accidents take place in the latter half of the year. A business is banned to report any accident resulting in a worker being off the job for at least 24 hours. Otherwise, the business faces a fine of $10 or so, a complete paltry sum. With the Northern Suburbs Inspections area covering from north to Whittlesea, from Bald Meadows to Doncaster, the inspectors study the accident figures closely. Where accidents are frequent, and they visit the factories. Where there's no accident, well, bang, you know yourself, comrades, they just don't come around. Many companies do not report accidents, but the inspectors find out that when injured workers seek compensation, hey, there wasn't an accident. Supervising Inspector of Factories in the Northern Suburbs, Mr. Tom Hamer, says factory managers should welcome visits by inspectors. Mr. Hamer's advice to union officials: make the complaint to his office at the corner of High Street and Cromer Street Prison.
Well, there's a lot of wives and mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers without husbands or husbands without wives because of those accidents. And yet the unions are getting knocked day in and day out. Well, I reckon myself that if we didn't have unions, that toll that we just heard, that carnage of people losing limbs, losing lives, would be so much greater if it wasn't for unions. So the only thing is unions have got to strengthen themselves and pull together, because we're the only people who are going to get safety. It's very obvious that the bosses don't give a damn. They're just worried about profit.
But it states in this editorial, as I said before, in a right-wing news, that only 90 of the 7,000 factories concerned have agreed to join the group to look after the working members.
Well, there's one point I'd like to make here, Gabby and Willie. The number of days lost through industrial dispute and the number of days lost through industrial accidents, I think there's 8 times as many days lost through industrial accidents as through industrial disputes. So I think that point speaks for it themselves. They try to do everything in their power, legislation, everything, to stop strikes. But what have they ever tried to do about stopping the industrial accidents on the construction sites?
Or the industrial grief for the families concerned.
Another good point too, Mario and Gabby, it says that all union officials should contact Mr. Hamer at his address on the corner of High Street and Cromer Street, Preston. I think every worker who is concerned in his own safety should also give him a tingle on the eau de cologne or some other method of communication, and then they may, seeing they're under man, they still may have a chance to get out there and have a look at it.
By the way, in case there's any misunderstanding about this Mr. Hamer and you get in touch with the wrong person, it's Mr. Hamer at High Street and Cromer Street, Preston. We wouldn't want to phone up the wrong gentleman.
Anybody with an H is a bum.
Well, anyway, listeners, we've been asking for contributions for quite a while, and there's about 300 people outside the studio waiting to get in, but Concrete Gang decided that they wanted to do a song themselves first. But anyway, this song is about Newport. You'll all have heard a little bit about the Scabbin, and one of the Concrete Gang has rewrote a song that's about Newport.
Well, it's not a very original song, if you listen to it. It's called Which Side Are You On? It's an old American miners song written by Florence Reese after the deputies raided her home looking for her husband, who had fortunately got away. He was a union leader. And we're just asking the guys down at Newport whose side are they on? Are they on the boss's side or are they on the worker's side? Because if they're backing the bosses, they've been misled, very misled.
Which side are you on?
3CR Community Radio, here is an urgent message. A spokesperson for the movement against uranium mining contacted 3CR with the latest report from the anti-uranium demonstration at the East Swanston Dock in Footscray. The police have now locked inside the docks more than 100 demonstrators who have been protesting beside the ship. Police have also confiscated food and warm clothing that have been brought down to the people for the overnight vigil. This is an extremely serious situation, the spokesperson said. More people are needed to go down to the Swanston East Dock to put pressure on the police to release the demonstrators and to bring more food and clothing to try and pass to the people inside. The spokesperson also said that demonstrators are in good spirits and have lit fires to warm themselves. To get to the dock, go to the end of Appleton Dock Road, which turns off Footscray Road. Your support is urgently needed. That was the recent message from the movement against uranium mining, which are demonstrating at the East Swanston Dock in Footscray.
They say down at Newport, no union men are seen. They are all just misled men, scabbing for the SEC. Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Oh, workers, can you stand it? Or tell me how you can? Will you be a lousy scab? Or will you be a man? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Don't scab for the bosses. Don't listen to their lies. As workers haven't got a chance unless we organize. Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on?
That was Which Side Are You On by Willie and the Concrete Gang. And if Channel 9 want to sign him up, they've got no chance because he's signed up to the working class for the rest of his life. Well, anyway, it's just been brought to the attention of the Concrete Gang. They're out of Australia's 13 million population, two of them are not 3CR listener sponsors. Now, this just isn't good enough. We would like these two people, no matter how ashamed they feel, to send in their $5 to P.O. Box number 145, Northcote. So come on, Mal and Alt Anthony, send your $5 in. We know you can afford it. Life wasn't meant to be easy.
Well, thanks a lot for listening. It's a good night from the Concrete Gang, and we hope you listen again next week.
Hey. Take a push, I'll take you up the country and show you the bush. I'll be bound you won't get such a chance another day. So come and take possession of the old.
Well, good evening and welcome once again to Coffee House.
Thank you for listening to the Concrete Gang 50-year anniversary archive. All those episodes where we dared to struggle and we dared to win. And hopefully you've enjoyed it and come back and listen to some more. You will find it on www.3cr.org.au/Concrete Gang 50 Years. Thank you very much.